Well, good morning, White Plains family. It's good to worship with you. Thank you, band. We are continuing our series, Marked by Love. And in this series, we're going to be hearing from several in our congregation to help me encourage us to be Christians who are marked by love. And this is an important series for us, I think, especially as we as a church try to figure out what does church look like coming out of 2 years being impacted by COVID. The church has been impacted. The community has been impacted. And that's an opportunity for us as Christians to re-examine what it means to be a Christian, especially in this new environment that we have post-COVID. Last week, our kids helped us share in this message series by doing some chalk art on the outside. And thanks that there hasn't been much rain, there's still some remnants on this side of the building with their chalk art. Kids, would you stick around this morning? We have some sickness in our kids' church help, and so we're going to encourage you guys just to stick around and hear the message this morning, if that's okay with you guys. Parents, don't worry if they start getting fidgety. That's okay. We'll be glad to have them. But this week, we're going to be hearing from one of our high school students. And Ryan, would you make your way on up this way? I ask Ryan Wolf to share with us this morning, because I've been impressed by this young man and his love for God. He has an active faith that is uncommon in many his age. And if you know Ryan, you know that he's involved in athletics. He plays soccer. Is it shooting archery? How do you say, what is archery? You do archery? Okay. And he also swims. In fact, yesterday, He was named one of the boys' 15th all-district tournament soccer team members yesterday. You might also know Ryan as very active in the FCA. He has spoken many times over the past couple of years in FCA, and I trust that he will continue to be a voice for the gospel on our school campuses going forward, encouraging his peers and the younger students to follow and love Jesus. Ryan, would you share with us?
Okay, yeah, it's on. How's everyone doing this morning? Good, that's good. So, a couple Sundays ago, when Gary asked me to do this, my first thought was, which one of these is going to be the easiest to do? Because, right, I got stuff to do. I ain't got time for this. I'm too busy. But then, as I started thinking about it more, I felt just something to tell me that I should speak over loving God. So that's what I'm talking about today. So we all use phrases or quotes or whatever you want to call them. I don't really care. But we all know ones that are like, there's always silver lining to everything. Grass is always green on the other side, and we all know what curiosity killed. My personal favorite is back in my day. Now, me and my friends joke about this one all the time, and we say to each other, like, now, back in my day, we used to have to go outside and have fun. And, well, back in my day, we actually had to talk to people face to face. And then my personal favorite from this is, back in my day, I used to have to walk to school 20 miles there and back every day. We didn't have none of these buses. I remember one day I was talking to my dad, and he said, you know, back in my day, we didn't have none of these video games or computers or iPads, and we sure didn't spend all day inside on them darn phones. And I was thinking, Dad, how does this relate at all to swimming? So my point from this is that change. Things change all the time, and sometimes we need to change. Things change every day. It's technology, medicine, and the way we communicate. So my first point today is that one thing never changes, and that's what God commands us to do. And in Matthew 23-37, we're told the greatest commandment. And it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So God's commandments never change. And he has commanded us to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. So whatever changes may happen in our lives or if the new cool thing changes and goes against what God says, we still have to love him, even in our hardest and our highs, no matter how difficult that is. Because I know for a high school student, it's hard to love God when everyone around you is against him. It's hard. It's difficult to go out into the world and say, yeah, I believe in God, whenever you get so much pushback from everyone. But God's commandments never change. And he's commanded us to love him wholeheartedly, no matter what. Now, the second thing is, everything we do has to come from love, God's love. Last Wednesday, CJ, our youth pastor, spoke to us about this, and it really spoke to me for today. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, it says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of the angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecies and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So all of these things are good things. We all think that we do good deeds, and we all do good things. We help out people, we donate to charities, we help one another, we love one another. But without love, all these things don't mean a single thing. Without love, all of these good deeds that we do, they don't mean anything. We can go out and give everything we have and do all of these signs and wonders. But without loving God, it all amounts to nothing. No matter what we do, if we don't love God, it doesn't make a difference. If we want to change the world, if we want to make a difference in the world, we have to love God in everything that we do. And we're told this in the Bible. We're told that we must do everything for the Lord. So every action that we have, every word that we say, everything that we do has to do with loving God. And my third point for the guy who does this for a job, comes back up, is that loving God isn't easy. The Bible tells us that people won't like us if we love God. John 15:18-21 says, I find it the Lord. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world loves you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is no greater than the master since they persecuted me. Naturally, they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. So when we love God, hard things are going to happen in our lives. I know you've heard it a million times, and I've heard it a million times too, but whenever you put your faith in Christ, things don't get easier. They get harder. We may be hated for loving God, but that isn't a bad thing. See, the verse tells us that when we love God, the world will hate us. But when we are loving God, the world will turn on us, but that means we're doing something right. John 17:14 says, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And the world hates us because we are opposing the things of the world, which are sinful. But we can be joyful in knowing this, that they are hating us because we are truly loving God. The apostles rejoiced this in Acts 5:41-42. They said, the apostles left the high council, rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the message that Jesus is Messiah. They were rejoicing because they knew they were doing something right. They were being rejected because they were loving God. They knew they were loving God because they were being rejected. If life is easy and you're accepted by the world, then maybe we need to change. Because when we love God, who is not of the world, then life will be hard and we won't be accepted. Now, I'm not saying that you got to go out and say that you love God and then go start picking fights with everyone, because that would get you hated real quick. When we love God, things will be hard. And if we don't, then life will be easy. But easier doesn't always mean better. So we need to look at our lives and decide whether or not we need to change. Because if we're accepted by the world, that means we're becoming a part of the world. And I know it's like, oh, but the world is good. There's good people in the world. Yes, but the world, God tells us that the world is sinful. There's sinful things in the world. It's not pure. And that's why they hated Jesus when he came to earth, because he was not of this world. He preached against the things against the world. And if we want to love God, we are going to go through the same things that Jesus did for God. Now, I don't know everything as much as I'd like to say I do, but I do know this, that loving God is the greatest commandment. Everything that we do has to be for the love of God. And loving God is hard, but that means we're doing it right and that we truly are loving God. And these things will never change, no matter what. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for letting us be able to come out here today. And I thank you for letting me be able to come up here and speak today. And Lord, I pray that you help us to remember that no matter what changes we go through, that we have to love you through it all. And Lord, I pray that you help us to remember that you are with us through everything, and that you will always be there for us. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan. Back in my day, I had a pastor ask me to just pray in front of church, and I wore camouflage, so thank you for not wearing camouflage this morning. I trust that was an encouragement to you all. And like I said, he's an impressive young man and has a love for God that is uncommon amongst his peers, I'm sure. And I want to just piggyback off of some of the things he said. And he said it in such a young way that to love God in our hardest and highs. I've never heard it said that way, but is that like a phrase you youngins are saying now? But it's true. It's not easy to love God in those hard moments. It may be easier to love God in those high moments, but our call is to love God in the hardest and the highs. So why should we love God? Ryan gave us the commands that Jesus spoke to us in Matthew 22:37-38. It's the greatest thing you and I can do as we follow after Jesus is to love God. Loving God, that's the greatest thing. Jesus says this is our greatest commandment. If you're new to your faith, or you're just discovering how to express your faith in new and meaningful ways, start here. Start with loving God. That's the best thing you can do, to love God. It's our first priority as Christians. Why? Because God is love. As we seek to follow Jesus and we seek to become more like him, we must believe as he taught. We must do the things that Jesus says, because Jesus is God, and one of God's defining characteristics is that God is love. We see this in 1 John. 1 John 4:15 through 16 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If you believe and confess that Jesus is God the Son, love God, because God is love. We love God because he first loved us. Let's stay right here in 1 John, but jump back a couple, some verses to verses 9 and 10. And we read, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This sentiment is echoed in the Gospel of John. You know this verse, I'm sure, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here we have Jesus speaking to a man named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. He's a religious leader of the Jews. And as a Jew, and even more so as a Pharisee, Nicodemus desired to love and serve God. That was his desire. He wanted to do that. He attempted to do that by following the law. That's all that he knew how to do. He recognized something in Jesus, though. He couldn't quite figure it out. So he approached Jesus. And Jesus said to him that people must be born again before they can see the kingdom of God. That is to say that you and I, through faith, by God's grace, must become a new creation. We must be born again if we are to live the life that God has for us, the ideal life that God desires for us. This is what he tells Nicodemus. Then Jesus goes on to explain it in greater detail, and it's after John 3:16. John 3:16 is a great verse, but there's so much more after it. Let's look at that full paragraph after John 3:16. We'll start again with 3:16 and go through 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We love God because God loves us. As we love God, we prove to ourselves and to the world that we belong to him, that we are following after Jesus. Our love for God indicates and demonstrates God's love for us. Now, those who aren't following after Jesus, they cannot and they will not love God correctly because they haven't accepted God's love for them. Our love for God begins with accepting God's love for us. Our love for God begins with accepting God's love for us. And as we come to understand the beautiful truth that God loves us and sent Jesus to redeem us and make us right with God, to forgive us from our sins and strengthen us with the Holy Spirit, to fight and flee the temptation to sin that so easily entangles us, as we come to that understanding, as we realize the beautiful truth in that, we rightly respond to God by loving God and devoting ourselves to God. If you've ever battled cancer or know someone who has, and the doctor prescribed and followed a treatment path that successfully cured the cancer in their body, beat the cancer in their body, you would naturally think that your doctor is the best if that was your situation. You would naturally tell others of how your doctor worked to beat that terrible thing that was impacting the inside of your body. You would have an affection for that doctor, wouldn't you? And rightly so, and the medical team and the facility, because you realized without their intervention, you would be doomed. Without their help, the cancer inside of you would destroy you. It's the same with sin, isn't it? But on a much, much grander scale. If you have cancer and don't know it, do you still have cancer? Yes. If you have cancer and do not know it, will cancer affect your body the same way as if you did know it? Sure. Yes, of course. And it's usually because the body's being affected by the cancer that one seeks medical help, isn't it? It's when we realize that something is wrong, that's when we seek to understand it and begin to correct it. Cancer is awful. Cancer is terrible. Cancer can and does sometimes take lives. But there's something much worse than cancer. There's something that can take much more than just your life. And many of us know where I'm headed with this, but we need to be reminded, don't we? Sin is worse than cancer. Sin can take your life. It can take your soul. It can take your joy forever. Sin is in us all. And apart from Christ, sin will take your life. It will take your soul. It will take your joy. It will take everything forever. Much more powerful than a doctor or a medical team, we have Jesus that takes away the sin that is inside of us and gives us life everlasting. When we come to this realization that we are dead in our sin and destined to an eternity separated from everything we love and find joy in, to spend an eternity separated from all of that, but it's God who shows us His love for us, that Jesus takes our sin away and brings us to an eternally, spiritually healthy place. We must respond to that truth with love for God. We love God because He commands us to, and Ryan did an excellent job of bringing this passage to light. Loving God should be a natural response, especially as we grow in our understanding of what God has done for us. But we are a forgetful people, aren't we? We need to be reminded. And in His kindness to us, God knows we're forgetful, so He commands us to love Him. He commands us to love Him. In the Ten Commandments, and then also in Jesus' words here in the Great Commandment. Let's look at these. Matthew 22, 37 through 38. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Jesus commands us to love God with our heart, soul, and mind. Now, did you know that when Jesus was commanding this and saying this, He was quoting the Old Testament? Did you know that? Right here, as Jesus lays out this great commandment, He is quoting the Old Testament. Maybe your Bible says where He's quoting. It's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Let's look there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Do you find it interesting that Jesus uses the Old Testament to tell us things in the New Testament? I think it's important for us to see when the New Testament quotes the Old Testament. It's important. For many of us, we think that the Old Testament is outdated, or it's too difficult to understand, or it doesn't apply anymore. But the truth is that the Old Testament is often quoted in the New Testament. In fact, there are about 300 quotations from the Old Testament in the New Testament. The New Testament is not completely new. It's not completely different from the Old Testament. So the big question that I want to help you answer this morning is, how can I love God? Or how can I show love to God? It cannot be done outside of Jesus. You cannot love God outside of Jesus. If you want to love God, you must do so by faith in Jesus. This is an Old Testament idea, faith. We have Habakkuk 2:4 to help us understand this. We read, "The righteous shall live by faith." This is an Old Testament truth that is repeated and quoted in the New Testament multiple times. Paul quotes this passage in Romans 1:17, in Galatians 3:11. The author of Hebrews quotes this passage in Hebrews 10:38. And John uses this idea to frame his thoughts in John 3:36. We love God out of our faith in Him. And this translates to every aspect of our life as we follow after Jesus. The righteous live by faith. Hebrews chapters 11 and 12, they are a great passage of Scripture for us to explore, to understand this idea of loving God from faith that follows. Let's just look at Hebrews 11:6 to help us understand this expression of love for God coming out of our faith. Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." You must have faith to even please God. Outside of faith in God, you displease God. If you're sitting here this morning or watching this online, and you recognize that you don't believe that God exists, you are displeasing God. It's impossible for you to please God. Maybe you're not an atheist, someone who doesn't believe there is a God. Perhaps you're agnostic, someone who believes that there is a God, but He's unknowable. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot love God. Without faith, you are an enemy of God, and your sin will cause you to reap the punishment of your sin. Let me just repeat John 3:16, though. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the faith that pleases God. This is the faith that we express our love for God from. We've talked about faith in previous messages, mostly that faith is active. Faith is active. It's not just a mental acknowledgement of something. It's not passive belief in something. Faith is active. Faith saves us. Faith redeems us. Faith rescues us. Faith completes us. But faith is expressed through works. This is a biblical idea. Again, it comes from the Old Testament and is repeated in the New Testament. In Genesis 15, we have God's covenant with Abram. This was before his name was changed to Abraham. And I won't recount the whole narrative this morning, but I do want us to look at verse 6 of Genesis 15. "And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half." Abram's faith is what made him righteous, but it was quickly followed by works. Abram's faith was displayed in his works. Paul quotes part of this passage in Romans 4. James quotes this passage in James 2 as he rightly says, faith without works is dead. Let's look at James 2, 18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one and you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. James is saying that our faith apart from works is the same type of faith that the demons have. But they shudder. Martin Luther, the reformer, says it this way. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves us is never alone. Works follow faith. We love God by our works that follow our faith. Note that I didn't say that we love God with our works alone, but we love God with our works that follow our faith. For the rest of our time this morning, I want to give us some very practical ways to love God with the works that flow from our faith. I want to point you to three types of spiritual disciplines you should practice regularly as you express your love to God rightly. The full list of the ways to rightly show love to God is much bigger than this list, but these three disciplines should always be part of the life of a Christian loving God. I'm going to pull from a really good book that I recommend. If you're looking for ways to grow your faith through spiritual disciplines, the book that I would recommend to you is by Donald Whitney. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. I spent some time with Dr. Whitney several years ago in a retreat setting where he spent time talking to us in a group about this book. The first way that we show love to God is through the spiritual discipline of interacting with Scripture. He calls it Bible intake. Scripture is God's words to us, so we must be a people of Scripture if we are to show God love. According to Dr. Whitney, there are six ways to interact with Scripture. The six ways of interacting with Scripture are hearing God's word, reading God's word, studying God's word, memorizing God's word, meditating on God's word, and applying God's word. Dr. Whitney says that hearing God's word is the easiest of the spiritual disciplines. This involves regularly attending church that preaches God's word. Not all churches preach Scripture, but we do here. So as you attend White Plains, you will hear God's word. This is one way that you can show God love, by hearing God's word. Now, when it comes to reading God's word, Dr. Whitney gives an alarming statistic in his book. He says that around 23% of professing Christians never read Scripture. About 1 in 4 people who claim Christ as their Lord and Savior never spend any time reading Scripture. Let this not be us, White Plains. To love God, we should read His words to us. Spend time in Scripture. Not because you have to or you should, but because you want to. Because you recognize the closeness that it brings you to God as you spend time in His Word. Wouldn't you agree that if spending time with God in His Word brings you closer to God, that time away from Him, not reading His Word, creates a relational division or a separation? Are you spiritually frustrated or indifferent? Do you find yourself pulling away from God-honoring thoughts and activities? Are you beginning to question things that you've always believed about God? Are you spending time reading God's Word? If you're not reading Scripture and you have negative thoughts and feelings toward God honoring things, spend time in His Word. Spend time with God through Scripture. Let the truth we confess in Scripture draw you back to God. As you get in the habit of reading Scripture regularly, you can then move on to studying it and memorizing it and meditating on it. That just means thinking deeply on Scripture and then applying it. But these later ones cannot be done if you're not spending time hearing or reading Scripture. The first way that we love God is by spending time with Him, interacting with Scripture. As we regularly interact with Scripture, we continue to show God love by prayer. Scripture is full of commands to us to pray. If you aren't praying regularly, you're being disobedient to Scripture. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We love God by praying to Him. God hears our prayers. He acts upon our prayers. He answers our prayers. You and I, we have direct access to God Almighty, the creator and sustainer of the universe, through prayer. Pray to Him. Devote yourself to continual prayer. As followers of Jesus, showing love to God, we should be devoted to praying without ceasing. Dr. Whitney says that we can learn to pray. It's not something that we're just born with. It's something that we can learn. Praying for many people is difficult. Don't let that keep you from praying. Learn how to pray. And we can learn how to pray in four different ways. In his book, he says that we learn to pray by praying, by thinking deeply on Scripture, by meditating on Scripture, by praying with others, and by reading about prayer. And if you ever need help in knowing what to pray for, you can visit our prayer wall at whiteplains.church/prayer, and you'll be given a list of all kinds of things to pray for. Prayer is a great way to show that you love God. And then finally, as we spend time with God interacting with Scripture, as we spend time praying to Him, lovingly communicating with Him, we are naturally moved to worship. Worship is expressing to God His worth. It is worth-ship. Biblically, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Dr. Whitney describes it this way in his book: to worship God in spirit is to worship God from the inside out. And we are to worship God according to the truth of Scripture. We worship God as He is revealed to us in the Bible, not as we might want Him to be. We should worship. Worship should be public and it should be private. Worship that is done publicly and privately is worship that celebrates who God says He is in Scripture, as we understand from the Spirit that lives within us in light of that Scripture. Worship must be Scripture-fed and Spirit-led. We cannot worship God as we want Him to be. We must worship God for what Scripture says He is, for what our spirit knows to be true that's in line with that Scripture. As we show love to God, we begin to do so by interacting with Scripture, by praying, and by worship. Do you love God? Are you loving God? Are you demonstrating your love for God to God? If so, keep it up. If not, start today. I'll invite the worship team to come back up. And as they come, consider your heart? Have you wandered from your love for God? If you feel a distance between you and God, He hasn't left you. Come back to Him. Maybe you've never fully understood John 3:16, and now is the time you should begin to trust Jesus and begin your relationship with God. Please stand as we pray. God, we love You. We thank You for Your word to us in Scripture. We thank You for the way You've revealed Yourself to us in Scripture. And we love You. Help us to express that love to You in more meaningful ways through reading of Your words to us in Scripture, through praying and communicating with You, and by worshiping You. And let us do that right now in worship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.